Morning, everyone.
Praise the Lord. I have so much to say and so little time to say it, so I'll kind of skip from point to point here before we enter into the message. The last time I stood here filling in for Pastor Dan, I recognized those faces that have been more or less permanent believers in this church and how they impact my life and how they have impacted my children and their lives. And I've noticed between Christmas and today that there's new faces here, new families here. And I want to thank the Lord for that. And I pray that you will stay. My wife and I were talking together on the way down today, and we were commenting on how or why people move and bounce around from church to church. And I concluded that there's something lacking, and that person that's lacking is the Holy Spirit. Because God has a purpose, and He has a plan. And Jesus is the head of the church. And He, by His glory and power, moves people together to become a body, to become an entity that He can use for His glory. And so if trials come our way, if temptation comes, or if there are things that we don't particularly agree with, and we get up and move, we're missing a very important part of our born-again lives. And so I would encourage those who are new comers to this church, I would encourage you to place your faith in Jesus Christ. Come to know all of the glory, all of the power, all of the love that we've been singing about this morning. Let it fill you. Let the Spirit of God come in and become part of the body here. Become part of what God is doing here. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And He wants to use you for His glory. He has separated us from this world to come into the presence of the Father and to have eyes to see and ears to hear the eternal truth of what God is doing. And we'll never get that. We'll never get that unless we are firmly planted in the place that God has given us to worship Him. So I pray that you will be blessed in this coming year with a fullness that God will give as you commit your life to Jesus Christ our Lord. We're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew today in chapter 2. I was speaking with Pastor Dan, and he said that he was on a series of messages, of the advent of the Christmas messages that we're so familiar with, and I'm going to follow suit here this morning. There's always life. There's always light, no matter how many times we read, no matter how many times we prepare a message, no matter how many times we have sung these words and songs, praise and worship the Lord, there's always something there of eternal value. And so we never really get tired of sharing the Christmas story, the advent of Christ. And so I hope with God's help here this morning that I can share some of that light with you, and that the Lord will encourage you as we are preparing to enter into this new year. So we'll be in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And Father, I pray that you would help me to deliver this message. I pray that you would prepare hearts and minds to receive your word. And Lord, for those who are thirsty, for those who are hungry, for you, I pray, Lord, that you would bless them this morning with some food from heaven that will impact their lives, that will change their lives, that will show those believers, Lord, that you truly are here and that you truly care. We ask for that blessing over all of us here. In Jesus' name, Amen. Well, we're in chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8, and then we'll go back and take a deeper look at what's going on here. The title of the message is The Power and Glory of God in the First Advent. The Power and the Glory of God in the First Advent. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." Very familiar passage. So powerful and full of light and life. This birth, this advent of Christ, this coming of the Messiah, has fulfilled God's word, the word spoken by the prophets. God, in this point in time of the history of man on earth, decided to reveal himself to mankind. No other time, no other place but this did God reveal himself. Heaven opened up and sent the messenger, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the promised King, all of whom you and I are waiting for, came in the first advent, was visible to men, and he grew in favor before men and God. Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, the Eternal One. You know, you and I, we can long for a whole lot of things in this world, and there are many things that we can lay our hands on. There are many valuable things in this world, whether it be monetarily speaking or whether it be of accumulating knowledge and understanding. But all that this world has to offer will never, ever match what Jesus Christ brought from heaven to earth that day that he was born. Eternal light, fellowship with the Father of heaven and earth, reconciliation of a heart that's been broken, reconciliation of a heart and a mind that somehow separates itself from the rest of the world, determining what is good and what is bad. That all came to an end on that first advent. And the words of the Father, the words of eternal light, were spoken through the Messiah who came to love one another, to embrace one another, to see beyond what you see and see what God sees in the person sitting next to you, in the people that you work with, in school, and at the job. Complete life change. The power and glory of God in the first advent, in the first coming. Never before in the history of mankind had the life that's eternal in the heavens above us make manifest to us. Never before has the true and living God revealed himself and given hope and given healing and given life to all those who had placed their faith in him. This is Christmas. This is the power and the glory of God in Christmas. What a wonderful gift God has given us. And you see, as we look at verse 1, it was after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king that Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem. The Magi, learned men. You know, men who studied the stars, who had a firm grasp of God's creation in the heavens above. Men who knew the geology and the topography of the land. Men who studied and men who humbled themselves before those who could teach them about what this world has to offer. Magi, very learned men. From the east, outside of Israel, they were Gentiles. They were not yet under the promises of God. And yet God loved them enough to reveal to them in their passion of studying the stars that one was going to be born, King of the Jews. God speaking to hearts and minds of people. God sending a message to those who are thirsty, to those who want to know what's beyond this life, to those who want to know that there is a God that is sovereign and King of kings and Lord of lords over all other gods here on earth, and there is a multitude of them. But only one caught their attention, and it was in the east of Jerusalem. We don't know. East of Israel is Jordan. Today is Jordan, Iran, Iraq. We don't know where they came from, but they traveled a long way. They traveled a long way following the sign that God had given them. Can you imagine a sign, a star in the heavens, and God speaking, follow this star. Something good will be at the end of your journey, at the end of your travel. It is Jesus, born King of the Jews. You and I, we have started our walk with the Lord, and it's a journey. For me, 30 years, still learning, still growing, still following the Lord, still looking for opportunities to serve Him, and watching God open doors where there seemed to be no way. What a wonderful life we have. What a wonderful life we have in our faith in Jesus Christ. Still following, still looking. Much to learn. Where is He who has been born King of the Jews? How did these men know unless God was speaking to them about the promised seed, about the one to be born King of the Jews? Do you know how far back that promise went when God spoke it to the Magi and they got on their camels and began to follow that star? All the way back to Genesis. All the way back. Going back almost 4,000 years. The promise made to the woman in Eden after she and the husband fell. One will come from the seed of the woman, and He will crush the head of the seed of the serpent. That's what's going on. That's what Israel was waiting for. They were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for the King. They were waiting for the one who was promised 4,000 years prior, one who would redeem a people for Himself, one who would restore the earth that was broken and abused and misused by the leaders of this world. It still goes on today. Where is He who's been born King of the Jews? We move from Genesis and that one promise at the beginning, and we move to Abraham, a promise made to Abraham, that there will come from him the seed of faith, that for all who believe in the name of Jesus Christ, He would become the Father of many nations. And the Father of many nations and the substance of that promise would be of faith in the true and living God. And we move from Abraham and we move to King David. And King David desired to build a house for the Lord. And when he was mulling this over, God took a prophet and sent him to David, and he said to him, you know, the Lord knows that you are planning to build a house for him, but he says it won't be you. But God went on to bless him. And God told King David that he would provide for him, David. God would provide for David a king that would sit on his throne forever. And of course, that one is he, born king of the Jews. The only one who could fulfill that promise is he who is eternity himself, Jesus Christ our Lord. So the Magi come and they stop into Jerusalem. And they're asking, where is he? We saw his star in the east and we've come to worship him. And when Herod heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. You see, here we have a very vivid contrast between the Magi and Gentiles who are outside of the knowledge and the promises of God, following a sign, versus a people of God, chosen of God to be his light, chosen of God to be his instrument here on earth, to shine light of eternity upon the nations of the world. And when the time had come, Herod heard this news about a king of the Jews to be born, and he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. You and I, we have to be careful. We do not want to become worldly and religious in our faith in Jesus Christ. We don't want to fall into a place of assimilating ourselves with the world around us in the hopes that maybe when we share the gospel, it'll be a bit more appealing or it'll be a bit more satisfying to those who are lost, to those who are in darkness, to those who are in sin. The power of God, the glory of God in that first advent in sending Christ was to send good news, was to send a message to those who are lost, that if they would believe, they would be reconciled unto the Father. They would come into the light and life of the eternal presence of God and come to know what his plan is in a world that's lost, in a world that's broken. The temptation is huge for you and I. The temptation rages all the time, always blasting right at us to weaken the message. You know, I had somebody years ago tell me, can you just tone it down a little? You know, we know you're excited. We know you love the Lord. But, you know, do you have to be talking about God so much? Yeah, I do. It's because God is dwelling within us. It's because this gift that came in the first advent, it doesn't stop there. We are reconciled. We have been saved. We have been washed. But now it's God, the Holy Spirit, that's dwelling in us. It's God who's empowering us to step out and to share your faith with others. Very difficult at times. We don't want to lose friends. We don't want to be separated from our families. There's a whole lot of things that we don't want to do while we're holding such a precious gift of eternal life within us. The temptation is to calm it down. The temptation is to somehow find a way to minister the gospel that's appealing to those who are lost in this world, that somehow makes a connection with the work that they're doing or with the people they're hanging out with. We have to share the message of faith that leads to eternal life. And we have to share that message with all those that God sends us to. Herod, when he heard this, Herod was the king of Israel at that time. And the scribes and those who were in the temple, it says all Jerusalem was troubled at the news. Why would all Jerusalem be troubled at the news that the Messiah had come? You know, prior to this part of the message in Matthew, we know that God and his angels appeared before the shepherds that were out in the fields, you know, kind of cold and lonely place, outside while everybody else is inside. A people that really were forsaken by many others because they had such a lowly job. But God came to them and said, today, good news has come to you. In the city of David, a child has been born. That child was a sign given to the prophet Isaiah 700 years before Jesus was born. A sign from God saying that he will send his child, the Messiah, the anointed one, the promised king of the Jews, and he will be born of a virgin. I have tried to share that with many people. I ask, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he was born of the virgin? These are people who go to church, and they say no. They say no. And I wonder, what do you believe? See, you and I, we can become worldly and religious in our faith. We can accept what the world is telling us with the best medicine and the best technology that we have before us. We can accept that maybe that really didn't happen. Maybe they were mistaken. Maybe. Herod was full of maybes. So were the people of Jerusalem at that time. They were more interested in what could be obtained right away. They were more interested in how they could better their lives by assimilating the fact that they were God's chosen people, by assimilating the fact that they had the light of eternal truth with them. They were more satisfied with how can I move in the midst of Rome, this conquering army? How can I move with my faith in a way that binds us together? You can't do that. It'll never happen. God's kingdom, his power, and his glory for those who believe is about another world. Jesus said himself when standing before Pilate, he said, my kingdom is of another world. This life, this light, this word that came from heaven to earth, it's of another world. It's of an eternal world. And one filled with light, one filled with life. We ask ourselves, how did Herod and the people in Jerusalem miss this? How were they not ready for the proclamation and the coming of the child? And gathering together, in verse 4 it says, gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. That is a quote right from the scriptures of the prophet Micah. That is the word of God. The word of God is true. The word of God will remain true forever. And so, you and I, if we're wondering, you know, as we're preparing for the new year, as we're preparing for tomorrow, starting the year of 2018, what can I do? What can I do that will shine forth the gift of Christmas every day throughout the year, instead of waiting to put all of my energy and celebration into Christmas next December 24th or 25th? How can I take this gift that God has given me? And how can I take the light in life that the Lord has placed in me to shine forth the spirit of Christmas every day between now and next year? Well, it's obvious we don't want to become like Herod and the religious in Jerusalem in the day of Christ. We don't want to be that kind of believer. We want to be a believer who, with the power of the Holy Spirit, goes out, determines, prays, asks for opportunities in order to witness for Jesus, in order to share the good news, in order to plant a good seed in the hearts of so many around us that are still without faith, still looking, wondering, what's beyond this world we're living in? This world seems like it's going crazy. Surely, there's got to be something better. Surely, there's a light and there's a life that offers me hope. God has called us to be that kind of instrument, to witness the name of Jesus Christ. Secondly, what can we do What can we do between tomorrow, starting tomorrow, and going to next Christmas? What can we do to carry the light of that first advent, of the coming of Christ? Learn the scriptures. But where do I start? Well, you know, I say, you know, we let the Lord lead you. But if we just take this passage, study the words of the prophets. Jesus quoted the prophets. The prophets looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. There's a powerful, powerful bond of the Word of God between the words of the prophets and the Word of Jesus Christ and what the Father has planned for the age to come beyond here. Be knowledgeable and be willing to stand on what God has given you as understanding about His Word, about His kingdom, about His plan. And stand up and share it. Speak it. Well, we move to verse 7 and 8 and kind of prepare to close this message. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." Here we see that the voice of the serpent is still speaking. The voice of the serpent is speaking through King Herod. There is a power, there is a force, there is a God, there is a fallen angel. There's an entity in this world that is in opposition to what God is doing, is in opposition to His will and plan. And His end has not yet come. He's been bruised by the cross of Christ. He's been humiliated by the ascension of Christ. But still, according to the Father's will, He still speaks. And He speaks to those who are not saved, who don't believe, people like Herod, who hold religious and worldly positions of power. But for you and I who love the Lord, you and I who are humble in means and willing to serve the Lord because we know there's nothing good in me. I know where I've come from. I know what God has done in my life. He's changed me. He's changed you. And it's His presence, it's His Spirit that rises up within us and wants to use the gift or gifts that He's given us to impact this world, to show light, to show life, to allow the Word of God or the touch of God to touch another life that they might see, that they might hear. And then there are those who are religious, who plot secretly, and who have a desire to destroy the work of God. And unfortunately, we don't always have to look outside the church for that kind of evil movement, as we see plainly here in the passage. So let us thank the Lord. Let us thank the Lord this morning that you and I, by grace, have had this wonderful miracle come our way, that the God of heaven and earth should look upon someone like me and you and touch you and draw you in with loving arms and empower you with His Spirit to be a child of His. And we want to carry that through the next year. We want the celebration of Christmas to continue from today all the way and come to a crescendo next Christmas. That God would be glorified, that the name of Jesus would be lifted on high, and that by grace through us, maybe some more will come into the everlasting kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful season, this time in which our hearts and minds are truly drawn to the miracle of the first advent of Christ. And Lord, We pray that you would move and touch all those who want to be used of you in the coming year. Maybe there's some sitting here today who feel as though they think that you are stirring them. They think that they've heard your voice, that you might guide them or direct them, and they're not sure. But they want to be sure. I pray, Lord, that you would bless these individuals, that you would draw them to a place of prayer where they would seek you alone and where they would pour themselves out before you with hopes that you hear and with the hopes that you will use them. Once again, Lord, we lift up all those that we prayed for this morning. And Father, we stand here in the name of Jesus Christ, and we bring back to you in word that everywhere Jesus went, for all those who were sick and diseased that came to him, he healed. You still heal with power and glory. That your name and the name of Jesus would be lifted high and spoken with reverence from the mouths and the lips of people who witness these things. Bless and heal those, Lord, that we have lifted up. And Father, I pray that we all would seek you and ask of you opportunities. Lord, that we don't plan for ourselves when and how we're going to share, but we just simply ask, Lord, open a door. Open a door where I can share my faith, where I can praise the name of Jesus. Throughout this coming year, don't let us not be satisfied with one or two events, but let us pray fervently for many opportunities to be used of God. And finally, Lord, I pray that those who are thirsty, those who truly love you and come to the well of living waters in your word, I pray, Lord, that you have a sweet time of fellowship with us all this year. As we sacrifice of our time, as we come before you humbly, knowing that we can find you and your presence and your wisdom in the knowledge of your word. Build us up, Lord. Build us up that we might be used of you and be used of you to further the light, the knowledge of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And in Jesus' name, I pray for that blessing over all of us here. Amen.